Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of What the Health Just Happened, where we talk about all things healthcare, community, business, and life. The goods, the bads, the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, and everything in between. Man, that was a radio voice right there.
That was good. Good stuff.
That was weird. Also, I love butchering the intro. We are so fortunate to bring on a variety of guests to bring their perspective on what they find to be healthy or not healthy in their respective fields. And obviously, share some laughs and share some wisdom. Right? Is that fair? Today's guest, we'll be focusing on community and life, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe some sports, maybe some nonsense.
Let's talk some sports.
And boy, is this conversation relevant to anyone that lives in Florida or other states that have ever experienced a hurricane or tropical storm. So everyone in Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, insert state. I love the intros. I'm out of breath already. Just kidding. Welcome, Michelle McCormick, meteorologist for News 4 Jax.
Yes, sir.
Can I say News 4 Jax?
You can. Okay. Absolutely.
I got WJXT here, all these terms.
The local station. I mean, bring it.
Slang and weather.
Bring it on.
We got through the intro. Short story. You used to work here.
I did.
Have been at Cox Media Group, have done a radio show like this. But right off the bat, what is a meteorologist?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Like, do you predict meteors coming? And my son told me to ask you that question,
really?
By the way.
Yep. We love weather. No, just tell
love
your son.
Or hate it.
You know, what is a meteorologist? Someone who reports the weather, predicts the weather. There's many different levels of meteorologists. There's the very smart NASA, let's launch a rocket meteorologist, all the way to the National Weather Service meteorologist, all the way down to us broadcast meteorologists who think we know everything. No, I'm just kidding.
We take
the information, really, for broadcast meteorologists, we take the information that all those really smart science-y people and make it usable for the public. That's my role.
Already. Look at Justin.
I'm very
right off the bat,
curious,
this is going to be good.
As to, mainly because there's times I have to do I have to help record a fishing show. And I feel like those guys are always critical. Do you see them being as the people that are like, oh, no, we're fishermen, we know what we're doing? Are they the ones that, like, do you get a lot of calls of people being like,
yes,
you said this and not this?
Well, the fishermen love their tides, right?
Yes.
They want to know what the tides are. The fish come in, the fish go out. The tides come in, the tides go out. So, yes. But they're the ones also on the water. I mean, we are surrounded. Our demographic is really interesting. And we're really just a triangle of land and the rest is all water. So it's really interesting to talk about weather in our region specifically. But the fishermen, that's some of it's their livelihood, right?
Yeah.
So if the weather's bad, especially out in the water, they're not catching any fish and making any money.
Mm-hmm. Well, a good fisherman can catch fish in any conditions. I'm just throwing
it. Come on, Forrest, come on, let's go.
Yeah, right.
Bring it on, Bubba.
So News 4 Jax.
Yes.
When's your show on?
So I'm the weekend morning meteorologist. So I work the 6 to 10 a.m. shift on Saturdays and 7 to 9 a.m. shifts on Sundays. I also do a streaming show on Saturdays on our Plus channel, and that's at 10:30. It can run as long as I want or as short as I want, depending on the day.
You got one already, don't you?
I got so many questions.
So do I.
Particularly the green screen behind you. Do you work with those?
All the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I figured you were familiar with them.
We might have to do a, like,
I know. I
kind of
wish we have a wide. We could do it.
I am happy to show you how to work a green screen. It is something that the interns are always really amazed about.
So Saturday morning, is it live?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you reading the weather for the week? Are you like, hey, this is today or this is the forecast for the week?
Right. So, I mean, from in the 6 o'clock hour, I do a top, I do a 15, I do a bottom, and I do a 45. So we're doing weather four times in the hour for four straight hours.
Okay.
So mostly my weather is focused on what's happening today because it's a weekend. It's Saturday. Yep. Can we go out? Can we go to the park? Can we fish? I have a tides report. Can we go play golf? We have a golfing report.
Ooh, that's
smart. What about the jumbo shrimp?
Oh,
do
yeah,
I need to pack
tonight.
A poncho?
Yep.
You know, can I picnic? Can I tailgate? These are all really important things for our weekend. So I start with that, and then I'll talk about, you know, when's the rain coming? Because it's summertime in Florida, and what
coming.
Always happens?
Yeah.
It comes every day.
It rains every day. And what's another factor in the summertime weather, folks?
Heat.
Heat.
What?
So, what?
In Florida?
No.
I don't believe it.
So we always have that heat index to worry about also, that feels like temperature on your skin, where that humidity and heat combined, and that's when you start to feel sick, if you have heat-related illnesses. So informing the public on when these advisories go into place is super important, especially on the weekend. So I feel my role as the morning.
You're a hero.
I'm a hero.
She's a hero.
I'm a hero. Thank you.
It matters. It matters.
It does matter. And then I forecast for the week because no one wants to go back to work on Monday in the rain.
Okay, so this is an honest question. Do you flip a coin the night before and say rain or sun?
Oh, man.
Do you, like, what's the science and research behind
well,
it?
Well, thankfully, we have many different things that we are able to use, right? We have lots of graphs. Lots of graphics. We have the National Weather Service that helps supply our daily forecast, and they're based out of the International Airport. So we have that. We have a system, a weather system with computers, and we have satellite, and we have radar, and we have infrared, and we have every possible tool to help us forecast what the weather's going to be like.
I see. I know when they want to ask a question.
Well,
by the way,
I have two, but I'm curious if there's a specific storm or weather event that has happened in your career that you kind of remember reporting on and being like, "This is insane! I can't believe people are like experiencing this wherever they are."
Yeah. So I have the privilege of having worked at both First Coast News and Action News in the past. And then I took a nice 12-year break.
Right.
In healthcare and nonprofits.
I went into healthcare and nonprofit,
oh, cool.
Exactly.
We'll pivot back. Let's do a little weather then
we'll do
your
that.
Life.
And then I came back recently to News for Jax. And not a lot has changed as far as the forecasting. I mean, the graphics have gotten better and the information is a lot. I mean, there's a lot of fake weather news as well. You know, you can get online and everyone will talk about a hurricane and a tropical storm like they're the meteorologists.
Hold on. Fake news?
Just saying.
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Fake weather?
Yeah.
Come on. Fake weather. And a lot of hype, right? We just had a storm this past weekend. A lot of hype. We get the emails. You hyped up this storm. Well, no, we're just trying to keep everybody safe. That's really our main role as a broadcast meteorologist. We're telling you about the weather so that you and your family can make safe choices for you and your community, right? So coming back now, so many years later, there's a lot. I haven't had a most recent. I wasn't on air during Ian, but I do remember when I was at First Coast News many, many years ago, I was the morning meteorologist and there was a terrible tornado and I pretty much wanted to walk out the door and never come back after that because it was so challenging and there are so many lives on the line and it's your responsibility to really portray the information that keeps people safe. And so that one really stuck with me. And Debbie, this past weekend was a lot. I mean, we did a lot.
You got something before I go?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm going to pause on weather for a second because I want you to hear this story and understand. Look, the show's called What the Health Just Happened. We're trying to focus on healthcare, but all of these things overlap healthcare in some capacity, right? So safety precautions, we're going to talk about hurricane preparation, tropical storm preparation, when you should panic, maybe when you shouldn't panic, right?
I love the question of when you should panic and when you shouldn't panic.
The whole second half, I think, is really diving into, and talk about great timing. We just had this tropical storm. My pool's overflowing. My kids are crying because they heard lightning.
What?
I like good stories, and you have some good stories. Mm-hmm. What did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be an astronaut.
Whoa,
not that story. I'm talking about the radio DJ in Colorado.
Astronaut. But actually, it starts with being an astronaut because I knew I couldn't join the Air Force to learn how to be an astronaut, but it just wasn't in my DNA. So I went to college and I didn't know what I wanted to be, but I discovered the college radio station on campus and I went to a really small state school in Colorado. And so my goal in life was to be a radio DJ. I wanted the 10 to 3 p.m. shift in Aspen or Breckenridge. I wanted to be that midday rock and roll, classic rock DJ in a resort town and then ski the rest of the time.
Ski in the mornings, come and record, ski in the afternoons.
Yep.
Okay.
Didn't really work out.
If there was a hype song for today's episode, think 80s rock, what would it be?
Ooh.
80s rock.
The scorpions.
Welcome to the jungle.
Here I am.
Rocky like a hurricane.
Oh yeah. My gosh. All day today, that song's been playing in my head.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about hurricanes too. I think that's incredible, right? So you've done radio, you've done TV, you left that industry and worked in healthcare nonprofits too, right?
Yeah, for 4 years. When I left television for good, really, I was the director for Special Olympics Florida Duval County for 4 years. It was the most incredible. I felt like everything I had done up to that point led me into this position. And for 4 years, with a team of amazing volunteers, I was able to really grow the program. We had athletes of all ages. We had volunteers up to 800 at times. We grew the program with stand-up paddle. We had a surfing program. Just bringing athletes together of all ages that were incredible. I mean, talk about the Olympics that are happening right now. Mm-hmm. Special Olympics, I can't even begin to say great things about them.
Was it localized or were you traveling for this?
Yeah, so for Duval County, being the largest county, we had an area, and our area was Nassau, Baker, St. John's, Clay, and then we had
five.
Other areas like Volusia County would all come to Duval County, and it Atlantic Coast High School was where we really held our big events because it was such a great campus, still is a great campus, but it had all the sports complex, if you will, for what we needed. We needed a baseball field. We needed soccer fields. We needed a track. We needed a soccer field. So it was really a good place, but all the other areas, all the other counties were able to come here and really get together and have great competition.
Is it still a big deal?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
I don't know. Honestly,
yeah, they have a
guilty.
Big race for inclusion. It's coming up in September. Trying to help them out with that a little bit now, even, you know, 10 years later since I left them. It's really a great program.
And then, golly, I can't think of the name. Donna. What's your last name? Deegan, the mayor of Duval County.
I'm like,
where is he going with this?
Yeah. I'm kidding. So again, they run like this very small marathon in Jacksonville every year.
Yeah, so I have been tied to the Donna Foundation for 18 years. This is year 18 coming up in 2025. Donna started her foundation in 2003, I believe, after her first or second round of breast cancer. And it evolved into the Breast Cancer Marathon, which started in 2007 in Jacksonville Beach. So now this is year 18. Yeah, so it's pretty amazing what that's done. It raises money to help men and women who are facing breast cancer treatments with any money, financial, that they need, all through the Donna Foundation.
If you had to recognize like the most well-known events in Northeast Florida, Jacksonville specifically, right? TPC's up there, Florida, Georgia, what's going to happen there?
Gate River
Jaguars,
Run.
Jaguars, Gate River Run. I would put the Donna Foundation.
Breast Cancer Marathon, for sure.
Like, I would put that up there in the top five.
Yeah, it's a whole weekend now. I mean, there's a 5K at the stadium. There's a cool. Half marathon and full marathon out at the beach. So, yeah.
Let me tell you who's not running a marathon.
Is that you?
Justin.
Oh, Justin, no.
Trey.
Yeah.
And me. Not a single one of us. However. Yeah.
I did it once. We'll talk
about, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's brutal.
Now I just work it. I take all the phone calls.
All the stuff.
I get all the emails. Anybody who has a race-related question, they know me by name. Hey, Michelle, it's me again. can I change my race from a half to a full? Never. Never. Yeah, it's always the full to the half.
From the half to a 5K.
To a 5K with like the craziest excuses. I'm like, I don't need your excuse. Yeah, I'll just change your race.
I have shin splints, or my kid's got a fever. It's like, you just can't run. You just can't run 23 miles. 26.2, I know.
26.2, sorry. Yeah.
I said it doesn't
matter. No, you're right.
Again, we love talking about that. We're in Northeast Florida, right? And we have guests on from a couple different states now. It's weird people ask us to come on from other states. That's weird, right?
No, it means we're doing something good.
But how do we promote this community we love? What's healthy versus not healthy here? And you've clearly been tied to that for a long time. Back to weather. Should we do it?
The weather conversation is so good.
I like the fun stuff, but you've done this for a long time.
Right.
We're going to hammer you with weather questions.
Okay. All right. I'll hang in there
with
you guys.
Good news is you have your pamphlet with
the
answers.
I literally brought cheat sheets just in case. I'm like, I don't want to mess anything up. Actually, I brought some really cool, like, swaggy gear stuff.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to hold those up in front of the cameras, digital versions. Yep. We'll get out free copies for anyone who wants them.
Yeah.
I was curious in terms of when you're giving the reports, is there something that you see as a common misunderstanding or misconception from a listener standpoint? You say one thing and they think...
The consumer misinterprets what she says.
Yeah, you're saying... Like, I know a lot of time people... I think, again, you can correct me on this, is like when you say 10% chance of rain... It doesn't mean 10% chance of rain.
You just hit my favorite topic.
Yep. There
okay.
You go.
So,
dang, bro, I'm about to lose my job over here, Justin.
So, I get to answer all our help desk questions. Mm-hmm. So, thank you to everyone who sends in a help question. They come to me. But we get a lot of questions about, well, you say it's 50% chance of rain. What, you know, it didn't rain at my house ever. Well, think about our market size, okay? We predict the weather from Brunswick all the way down to the tip of Flagler County at the end of St. Johns County, all the way out to Lake City at I-75. It's about 20 counties.
So like bigger
counties.
Than the state of Rhode Island and Connecticut combined, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
It's over 20 counties, and Duval County is the largest county, right, our square footage. And so if it's going to rain in Brunswick, it might not rain in Flagler Beach, right? Or it might not rain in Lake City, but sometimes... That's where the 100% is. Now, on Monday, for example, 100% of everybody received rain.
Yeah, just getting it.
Find me a person that didn't see rain on Monday, and I will stand corrected.
Yeah, I was going to say, time out. We got to acknowledge, like, we just got hit by a tropical storm that's borderline hurricane.
Like,
it has rained every second for the past 3 days.
Right.
So 100% of everybody. Yep.
But I always say, if it's a 20% chance of rain today, when it's raining on me, you know what it is? That's 100% chance of rain if it's raining on me. So 20% of the market could be just our areas west of I-95. Maybe that's just Union or Baker County, or maybe that's Union and Bradford County. Could be Alachua County, just getting rain. That 20, so break it up into like a pie, if you will, and you have your quadrants, and this quadrant is 20% or 25% of rain. But keep in mind, we also have a whole half of our market that's water. The Atlantic is water. Mm. So if you're in a market like Dallas, Texas, for example, where I grew up, your DMA is a big old circle.
DNA or DMA? DMA? I'm sorry.
Yeah, the market area.
That was a terrible dad
domestic
joke.
Market
I'm so
area.
Sorry. We're going to edit that out.
But see, you're the health guy, so you would go the DNA route. I see where you're coming from.
We have no edits, by the way. That was a terrible
Absolutely
dad joke.
Not.
I apologize now. So the percentage you said too, if it's 25% here and 5% everywhere else, do you combine those percentages and then it makes it
right?
I don't math so good.
Right.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. If only our southern counties are gonna receive rain that day, that could be 50%. Mm-hmm. So it's a very people have different opinions on the percentages. For me, I would just say there's a chance of rain. And
hey.
And honestly, it's not a lie, right? Because especially in the summertime, we have our sea breezes. And where we are in Florida, we get a sea breeze from the Gulf Coast. We get the sea breeze from the Atlantic side. And you know what happens? They bump into each other. And when they bump into each other, you know what that causes? Thunderstorms. And then add heat to that. Heat rises. And you have a bunch of convergence. And you have thunderstorms.
Hold on. I got to write this stuff down.
How does the Sahara dust come into play? Yeah.
I promise we'll get serious.
God,
I like not being serious.
Oh, my God. Goodness.
I think about, again, weird things about Florida. There's a lot of things I love, mostly love. But when it rains in my backyard and it's pouring and I look in my front yard and it's sunshine
Nothing.
And the kids are playing, I think this is, what other states have that?
I don't know.
It's just crazy.
You can see it on the interstate when you're driving, right?
Oh, yeah.
You see when you're about to drive into
a
downpour.
You could be on an eastbound road and a westbound road, and it's pouring on this side, and you're just like, it's only Florida.
Yeah.
Healthy or not healthy?
Healthy. This is the greatest state ever.
Oh, yes. Okay. How much time we got left before commercial break?
8 minutes.
Okay. I'll have plenty of time.
All right.
I promise we'll get to hurricanes and healthy stuff, but I like the fun stuff a little bit more.
Yeah, well, it's real fun. Weather's fun.
So the degree or studying, what's the process of becoming a meteorologist young kids? Like, there's kids out there like, I want to be up there on that green screen and point on the camera.
There's so many different levels of meteorology. So I'm very good friends with one of the senior meteorologists at the National Weather Service here in town. Her name is Angie. She's brilliant.
Shout out, Angie. We love shout outs.
I love shout outs.
What's
too.
Angie's last name? Edit that out.
It starts with an E.
Angie.
But anyway, she's brilliant.
Okay.
And she's a giant too. She's beautiful. She's very tall. But anyway, I digress. She went to Florida State University, which has an amazing meteorology. My daughter's a Knoll.
Okay. Hey, yeah. So we all went to UNF, but we're Seminoles at heart.
Okay. Yeah, my daughter's a Seminole. So
awesome.
Yeah.
What's your daughter's name?
Leah.
Shout out Leah.
Okay. Thank you. But Angie went to FSU. She thought she wanted to be, her dad was a hurricane hunter in the Air Force, which is like, my God, like how cool is that? And then she couldn't get in the military for whatever reasons. So she decided at that point she was just going to become a meteorologist. And she's been with the National Weather Service in Jacksonville for 24 years. Wow. I mean, she's so smart. But TV is not her thing. So broadcast meteorology, she's not comfortable getting up in
different
front of people
and
doing the hands and pointing out the stuff. Mark Collins, who's one of my coworkers.
Shout out, Mark.
Thank you.
We
he also
outs.
Went to FSU because they have such a great meteorology program, but he's more on the broadcast side, but he's very much a knowledge machine. Like, talk about Saharan dust, who will talk your ear off about Saharan dust. Me, on the other hand, I am a late in life meteorologist, if you will. So
I like that term.
Thank you. I went to school in Gunnison, Colorado. All I ever wanted to do was a radio DJ in Aspen or Breckenridge, and I wanted to fly planes. So I did radio broadcasting. I was the station manager my senior year, and this was all I wanted to do. Well, my parents bribed me after I graduated from college to come back to Dallas.
Financially, monetarily, like how do they bribe you? Okay.
If you move home, we'll pay for your pilot's license.
Shout out, parents.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So I moved back home, and I got my pilot's license, and then I realized moving on, I really wanted to fly helicopters. Well, flying a helicopter is ridiculously expensive. I already knew I wasn't joining the Coast Guard or anything to get a pilot's license that way. So I became an airborne traffic reporter. So I was able to put my radio background and my flying background in the air as a traffic reporter.
Did you ever do any police chases?
I did.
Ooh,
here in Jacksonville during the Super Bowl in 2005.
When they were here?
Yeah.
Oh, Eagles, Patriots. Yeah. Oh,
so I got to be in the helicopter for First Coast News during the Super Bowl, and there was a carjacking of a limousine like the night before the Super Bowl. We were up in the helicopter just doing a report, and we got to chase that. That was like one of my most fun times.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was way cool. So anyway, but I went to Mississippi State University to get my degree, and it was a 3-year degree as a certified broadcast meteorologist.
Like anything, right? So in healthcare, you have different levels of degrees. Like a registered nurse,
right.
You can have a doctorate in nursing, a master's, a bachelor's, and associates. Any degree out there. So very similar to broadcasting meteorology. Say meteorology really fast, five
spell
times.
Spell it.
It's tough, yeah.
Oh, don't ask me
there's
to spell
like
anything.
A lot of O's.
So you're schooling, which again, I like. You have different perspectives. I promise. That was a fun first half. We're almost wrapping this up. I hate that the first half's almost over. The second half, we're going to dive really deep into hurricane preparation, tropical storm prep. We're happening just to pass through one, and we want you to share your wisdom, even with your cheat sheet. Is that fair?
I'm good.
How much time we got left? 1 minute. Okay. Any shout outs before we go to the second half? We love shout outs.
I would love to shout out like that Tim Deegan and Mike Burrish and Richard Nunn are three big chief meteorologists in town. These guys are so good. They are so smart. I've worked with all three of them in my career here and learned something amazing from all of them. So your TV meteorologists are here to help you. We are here to help guide your decisions in the community when a weather event happens.
Which we'll get to. They're not just flipping a coin saying
they're not. They're not just saying sun, rain, sun,
correct.
Rain. No.
Man, dang it. First half's gone.
I'm going to die in the second half.
Yeah, we're going to have fun in the second half, but really dive deep because his wife's like the read every second of the weather. Good time. Second half, we'll get back to it. Michelle McCormick, a meteorologist with News 4 Jax. That's what the hell just happened. Welcome back to the second half of What the Hell Just Happened. If you missed the first half and you're catching us here on the radio, good news is you can catch us on your favorite podcast platform under What the Hell Just Happened. Word on the street is, I think YouTube's ready. Is it ready, Trey?
We're up and rolling, finally.
Yeah, we're going to start putting this out there, too, because you know what the world needs? More content.
Absolutely.
Just kidding. If you missed the first half, we have Michelle here from News 4 Jax, a meteorologist who is... I think hysterical.
Oh, thank you.
And we had a blast.
We
talking,
did. That was a fun
many
first
things.
Half.
A little bit of weather, schooling, 80s rock stations, 90s rock stations in Colorado.
Helicopter police chases.
Yeah, from the Super Bowl 2005.
But again, the second half here, let's keep it community and healthcare related.
All right.
Just kidding. We always go off the rails.
I was about to say, I'm just following your lead.
Always go off the rails here. And we try to rein it back in. Most times we just stay off the rails. Before that, my favorite game, healthy or not healthy. You know the rules.
Okay.
Healthy or not healthy, predicting the weather.
Healthy.
Okay. Healthy or not healthy, hurricane parties.
Well, it depends. Are they at Pat O'Brien's? So that would be healthy.
Okay.
No, but probably not healthy.
How about the hurricane? That's fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Healthy or not healthy, hoarding water.
Not healthy.
Those people that hoard water. Healthy or not healthy, the price of gas during a hurricane.
Not healthy.
Healthy or not healthy, staying in town when evacuations are recommended.
Ooh, that's not healthy.
Healthy or not healthy, group text threads.
Unhealthy.
Unhealthy.
Not healthy.
On mute.
Healthy or not healthy, the 80s song by the Scorpions, Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Super healthy.
I love that song. You got any you want to throw in?
No.
Okay.
I was going to say Riders on the Storm, but that's just
a that's a good one.
It's a good one, too.
Okay.
It might be
Okay, so second half, we're going to try to stay serious here, like legitimate questions, because we just had a, I guess here was considered a tropical storm. When it hit lands, it was a hurricane. But not when it hit Jacksonville. I don't know how that works.
It was downgraded back to a tropical storm. So all weekend we tracked it through the Gulf of Mexico. It made its turn off of Cuba. It came like pretty much straight north along the coast, the west coast of Florida, as a tropical storm. And then overnight, or in the evening, Sunday into Monday, became a Category 1 storm. So it's dependent on the winds.
So when it hits land, it's a hurricane. And then depending on the miles per hour, it drops to a tropical storm.
Right.
And we'll get to the categories of hurricanes.
Yep.
You got your cheat sheet
I
there.
Do. I just don't want to get it wrong.
Well, we get a lot of things on the show. Yeah, already. He's already chiming in.
You made me think, like, is it the Farmer's Almanac that'll put out the predictions for like a busy year? And is there anything behind those predictions when they're like, it's going to be a bad hurricane season?
So
this year?
It's funny you say that because it's Colorado State University is pretty much kind of the go-to source for the predictions. Mm-hmm. And I literally just wrote an article on this today at newsforjax.com.
Wait, time out. Colorado State
University
is the leading person that's talking about hurricanes in Florida.
Yeah.
That's
not the Miami Hurricanes.
There's tech government money out there.
Yeah. The National Hurricane Center, right?
Okay.
They are based out
totally
of Miami.
Makes sense.
But they have, Colorado State University has like the resources. They have the staffing. It's kind of like their thing that they do. And on April 4th of this past spring, they put out their predictions that there would be 23 named storms, and maybe like 13 of those were going to be major, which means a Category 3 or above.
How many major? You said?
How many major? I think it was 13. And but 23 named storms. So that could be a category or any tropical
when are they
cyclone.
Named? That was my next
when
question.
Are they
like,
named?
When are they like, hey, we got to name this thing?
Right. So when it becomes a tropical storm, that is when it gets named. So we just had Debbie, and the next one will be Eric. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
it's gonna,
it's
I really
Ernesto.
Wanted it. It's
I'm
Ernesto.
So excited.
I really wanted
air.
It to be Eric with an E.
Oh,
so. What gets it so to tropical? Like, what are the categories or things? You know, that it has to check off to be considered a tropical storm at that point.
Right. So a tropical storm, when it becomes a Category 1 storm, right? So a tropical storm is anything over, I want to say, 40 miles per hour. I don't have it in front of me.
Oh, no. We can fact check it.
Sounds great. We'll look it up. But when the winds hit 74, so a tropical storm will stay a tropical storm until 73 miles per hour.
Sustained or a gust?
That's the sustained winds of the storm, usually over water. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So then it becomes a Category 1, when it becomes 74 miles and higher, up to 95 miles per hour. So Hurricane Debbie, for example, when it was still a tropical storm, it had a width of 140 miles. I mean, that's a lot. That's a wide berth of storm. So even when it comes, and the winds can be felt. I mean, we were feeling the winds even before it came up on land, right? Because they were just gusting and churning, and a tropical cyclone is counterclockwise.
So now you got think me thinking, of the movement. Like, when you flush a toilet, is it clockwise or counterclockwise?
I think it's clockwise in the northern hemisphere and counterclockwise.
True, by the way.
It's in the southern hemisphere.
Yeah.
So,
sorry. I digress. Go back.
Now I want to know.
So it's a low pressure storm, and low pressures rotate left.
So what's the miles per hour at category two?
So category two is 96 miles per hour to 110. Category three is 111 to 129. Four is 130 to 156. And a category five storm is 157 or higher.
And yet, this is all being clocked over the water. Is that correct?
Mostly. Okay. I mean, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And then what is the sustained wind gust that will shut down the bridges here?
So that's 40 miles per hour will shut down a bridge. Yeah. But they have to be sustained.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a key factor. So anybody who moves to our area, that's one of their very first questions. We have a ton of bridges, right? When do the bridges close? I'm new. Am I going to be stranded on the beach? When winds get to 40 mile per hour sustained, clocked, constant winds, the police will be standing at the ends of the bridges. They know it's coming, right?
Yep.
They will shut the bridge down. A gust of 40 miles per hour you'll feel it on a bridge.
That. Yeah.
And you do feel it. It's scary, isn't it?
Oh my gosh. It happened Monday. But before that, I'm just envisioning, you don't answer this yet. Do you watch baseball?
I love baseball.
How do they measure the miles per hour for a pitcher, right? How do they measure the miles per hour? Like, is there some guy behind home plate holding it?
Like an anemometer. It's like one of those words that's really hard to say. An anemometer. And they hold it up, and it literally spins.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And how long are they having to track it, that sustained wind? Is it a 5 minutes?
Yes,
is it 10 minutes?
Great
is it an
question.
Hour?
So that is a very good question, and I will get that and email it to you.
I love that.
Yeah.
What would you think, though?
Maybe like 30 minutes to an hour
it needs to be
sustained?
It has to be sustained for a period of time.
It's got to be multiple hours.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Or otherwise, it's just a gust.
Sure.
At that point.
Gotcha.
So
I don't know, it has
to be constant.
If anyone's curious about that, we'll find it out.
We will find that out. I wish I knew that answer.
That's
such a great question.
That is a good question.
It's a great question, but it is one that people are very, very concerned about. So when a big storm is coming our way, Hurricane Matthew in 2017 was the last one that was in the Atlantic Ocean. I live in Jacks Beach, and every year they're like, we're going to do a mandatory evacuation. And basically what that means is you're not going to have access to 911. Your power will likely go out, and your bridges will be shut down.
That's a great segue into, like, let's get really localized, hurricanes in general. So when there is a mandatory evacuation, you said something on our prep call, right? Like, what does that mean if you stay in town?
Mm-hmm. It means you very much do not have access to emergency services. So that is a
swim
big deal.
At your own risk.
It is totally at your own risk.
You stay in town for that hurricane party, like, you're on your own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough.
How much of a evacuation do you, what's normal? When do you get an evacuation? Is it 6 hours, 8 hours, 24 hours?
The good thing about hurricanes is we have advance notice that they're coming. Unlike a earthquake or unlike a tornado, you know? So we have a heads up with hurricanes. We know they're coming. We have a 7-day forecast in most times, and we have wiggle. We know that it will wiggle, and that's that cone of uncertainty, right? you can't ever really, like, this is the cone just means it could go this way. It could go that way. It's not coming up the center of the cone. It's on.
Do you guys ever
side.
Just change it just to mess with people?
No.
Just like,
no.
You know,
that's right.
Just,
stop. Stop.
Okay.
Okay. Watch. Okay, guys. Watch this. We're gonna freak him out in Jack's Beach.
You want to see Jack's Beach go crazy?
Oh, yeah. That would be terrible. No.
Terribly funny.
No. A good Saturday Night Live. Like
that is
skit.
A skit. That is a good skit.
Good skit.
Yes.
Yes. Just April Fool's behind it. You'll be fine.
Yeah. That's right. No. So.
I'm sorry.
No.
Again, you can predict that. We don't. Everyone's like, who's your listeners? What's your audience? We never know. What are must-haves, right? So if you're hurricane preparing, we know this because we've lived in Florida a long time. Like, you better have this in your house.
Yeah, a generator is a great idea to have. I keep mine in the shed in the backyard. Every year I go out, I have to pump up the tires and roll it around the front and plug it in 20 feet from my house.
A lot of people don't know this.
20 feet.
Fire? Is that why? Or?
Carbon monoxide poisoning. Mm. You could spark a fire with the gas. I actually, Richard Nunn and I were having this conversation the other night. He just bought this really cool thing for the gas tank that he has connected, or, you know, for to fill his generator. He bought his wife this cool little like connector that will automatically fill the gas
when gas
can
is low
to the thing. All she has to do is like push a button, and that way you're not tipping the can into the generator and
at?
Spilling
Does he
it.
Leave town while
He's
she stays home.
Filling
up
the gas. He's at the station. So you know, we have to work, so we have to make sure our families are prepared. I live at the beach. I have a generator. I have to make sure that the tires are pumped up, that the gas cans are filled, that it's 20 feet away from my
that.
Yeah, that's a big
it's
one.
A, if it's a home that. Built generator, that's different. But if you have a portable generator in the state of Florida, it should be 20 feet away from the
at
house
at least. And I mean, not in your garage.
Put it in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Not in your garage. That's the carbon monoxide. It's going to come back in. You're going to fall asleep and you're never going to wake up.
Oh my gosh.
Fire as ex-firefighter here, we saw a lot of generator fires. Okay, so generator, great. 20 feet from the house, there's a lot of stuff you could do to it. What else?
You want to have flashlights with batteries, plenty of batteries, a weather radio, like a hand, mm-hmm. like an old timey hand crank weather radio. NOAA does weather reports on their radio station and they update you. Your phone, of course, is going to be a good resource, but you don't want to charge your phone in your car in the garage with the door shut. Because what's that going to do?
Which happens. Carbon monoxide.
Carbon monoxide again. But chargers, you know, there's blocks that you can buy now to keep your phone. Charge your phone is an amazing resource. Your phone's also good to record the contents of your home should you evacuate. You have a recording of your phone. Go through your house, take pictures of anything that's valuable, and make sure you take it with you when you leave. So I have old rolls of film still with pictures of jewelry
What's film?
And stuff.
Right. I'm kidding.
Exactly.
I'm kidding.
So I found them in a drawer the other day. I was like,
the wind-up phones?
Yeah, exactly. So just little things like that. A cooler, you know, ice, water, you know, you want to have your essentials if you're going to stay.
We made jokes about hoarding water, right? But like if you're going to be in the house, you need water.
Yeah. About, I think it's a gallon a day per person.
Is it silly to say if you got in a huge pickle, you just put a bucket outside and there's your water here in the middle of a storm?
It depends how it's funneled in. That's a whole
Fair
that's
enough.
A scientific
Fair
conversation
enough. Sorry.
Right there.
Sorry.
That's
if a whole,
you just put a bucket out
I'm
back.
I'm going full redneck.
But there are like, look, all you guys living in bunkers and prep for that, there are ways to gather that.
Yeah,
water.
Rainwater collection. Yeah.
Medications. Let's talk about health care.
Oh, didn't even think about that.
We're going to talk about evacuation, shelters, et cetera. This is every county, Northeast Florida specifically, because we're in hurricane season, but medications.
Yeah, medications. You want to make sure you have enough medication to last you at least 5 to 7 days because the pharmacy might be closed. You don't ever want to be without your essential medication. And so there are medication lock boxes that you can get. There's medication envelope things with zippers that you can lock because another thing about taking medication out of your normal storage place is kids can get into it. So you want to be sure that you have these safety measures in place, not just keeping your medication nearby.
Medications, what up? First aid supplies, right? Pets, what about pets?
Pets, well, pets have medication
too. Do you have a pet?
I had two. I have a cat. I have a dog. And so my poor dog was going stir crazy over the past few days. Couldn't go outside. Couldn't go for long walks. So, you know, how do you keep your pet from going completely stir crazy to make you completely stir crazy?
I would recommend not getting pets, by the way.
Yeah.
I cannot
yeah,
stand my
Eric.
Dog.
My cat, you get outside if you got a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, pets are a factor too.
My parents, what they do is they'll grab fake turf and they put a little tub together in the garage so that the dog can go out, because our dog won't go in the rain.
Pee pads are good too. The puppy pads.
Mm-hmm. I wrote down a couple notes from it. So know your plan, right? You don't have to go 30 miles in storm to avoid a storm.
Right. This is something that I really wanted to focus on for this year's hurricane season, because when you have to evacuate, it doesn't mean you have to go to Georgia or Alabama, because what if the storm's going that way and that's your plan? That's your...
Happens. I can attest to that.
You went to the storm.
Right. You drive into the storm. And that happened with Irma, right? A few years ago, 2016, Irma came straight up the state and people had already started going up to Georgia. Well, it was still going to go up to Georgia. So what you can do is find a friend in town who isn't in a flood zone and know your flood zones. That's another thing. And jacksready.com, we have flood zones on our website. Flood zones are very easy to search for your county. Duval County flood zone, a really pretty colorful map will pop up. It'll show you in red where not to be during a storm. And then green, I think, is a better color. So
this is applicable to all of Florida,
counties,
by the way.
All counties. Yep. Georgia, Florida, Alabama, all counties have these flood zone maps, and they're super helpful. But we, for Hurricane Matthew, knowing it was coming up the Atlantic, knowing that there was an evacuation order in Jacksonville Beach, even though my house is 10 feet above ground, I'm behind a gate station, like a gate gas station. So it's built up a little bit for the tanks.
I know the gate station.
Yeah. So I went 2 miles inland to a hotel at JTB and Hodges, knowing I was going to be safe there. Mm-hmm. I brought my mom, I brought our animals and my kids, and we holed up there for about 3 days.
You mentioned something, right? If you know where to go, know your plan. What if you don't have friends like myself? Like, who am I? I'm kidding.
I'm sorry. I feel bad for you.
I know. I'm saying, but like shelters.
Yeah, shelters, right?
If you can't phone a friend, right, you can't go to a hotel.
Duval County, when they're in full-blown... status of their emergency operations center is in full blown mode. I think they have 29 shelters. Wow. Some are medical shelters, some are pet friendly shelters, and they have a laundry list of these shelters at Jack's Ready also. JacksReady.com.
I will be staying away from that.
JacksReady.com.
And like I said, one Nassau.com is the Nassau County one, and Clay County has one, and St. John's County has one, Baker County. All the counties have their emergency operations center information on their city county websites.
Man, there's so much to unpack.
And alerts. And
we had so much fun. Oh yeah, so every county has
every county
own alert
has
system.
Alerts.
Do
too.
You remember a couple months ago when the entire state of Florida had that alert system go off?
Yeah.
So they work.
Yeah,
they work.
Yeah.
Know your flood zone. We hits. I wrote this down. I highlighted this. I like this. The storm. A lot of people think the storm is the worst part. Nope. No, it's not. It's the following days.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we're seeing that now, like with Hurricane Debbie and Tropical Storm Debbie dumped a plethora of rain. I mean, like more rain. I just saw this morning, the National Weather Service said Jacksonville recorded the third highest one day rainfall ever. Yep.
Wow.
The third high in August.
Good for
in the month of August.
Okay. Yeah.
In the month of August.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My pool level's overflowing.
My
by
pool
way,
level's yeah. overflowing yeah. too. But, what was your question?
It's not the storm that's the worst part.
Afterwards. So so with rainfall that happens that fast in that short amount of time, rain has to go somewhere. So if it's raining in Georgia in the St. Mary's River, for example, it has to drain somewhere. And the governor, in one of his reports over the past few days, actually made really good point about this. The water has to drain somewhere. So that's why we have retention ponds. And that's why we have rivers. And the Black Creek right now down in Middleburg, it's still, they've all crested now. And we have tides here. We have the tide that comes in and the tide that goes out. We talked about it with fishing in the last hour. The tides here are really, when you have high tide, the water's exceptionally high. Add 3 to 4 or 5 inches in some spots to a high tide, you're going to have flooding. So that's what we are seeing.
Soggy
after
ground,
the storm.
Slip and falls, trees falling
over. Tons of really saturated water of ground.
Or even the 3 days afterwards, if you leave town on a Sunday for a hurricane, it hits Monday, you come back to a tree limb down, the electric lines are down. The hurricane's tough. If you need to evacuate, evacuate. But when you come back sometimes, it's oftentimes worse.
Right.
I have to acknowledge this. Do you surf?
I don't.
Let me tell you the one pro of hurricanes.
Buddy, the surfers are out and
about. Yeah, they are out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or fishing. I mean, the pier now has okay, water.
So not healthy.
Yeah, what's not healthy? Yeah,
surfing
in the heart of a hurricane, don't
not
do it.
Not healthy.
It's the days before and then the days after sometimes. Yeah.
Especially if it's coming in off the Atlantic and you have the swell coming in.
Yeah, if it comes the other way, does that make the waves bad then if it's coming from the Gulf?
What's so funny,
doesn't it?
Again, to me, it, like you said, tides, winds, rain, all that stuff. But when it's offshore, it's days in advance. Like if a hurricane's 3 days out, the waves are firing those. Yeah, like you're going out there those days.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, again, what direction is it coming? Let's go back to the serious stuff because we're running out of time here. It's my least favorite part. What else are relevant things? Like I've got to acknowledge this. We got to address this. This is important. Because we talked a lot of nonsense. That's
The major important thing is have your plan in place well in advance. Know your plan. Your family needs to know your plan. You need to know where your medications are. You need to know where you're going. If you don't have friends, pick a hotel that's nearby and make that reservation 7 days in advance. Or make plans to go further away. Because if you are leaving on an evacuation day, it took me 10 hours to go 30 miles during Hurricane Floyd in 1999. And I told myself I will never evacuate again. And I have evacuated again since then, but I made smarter choices.
So again, I'm gonna acknowledge three dumb cavemen, husbands here, young kids, wives. You hear that? Have the plan. You write this down.
Yeah, tell the husband.
Just tell us what we need to get.
Yeah.
Show up. Buy chainsaws, gas. Having a plan is a must. Waiting, if you anticipate an evacuation coming, evacuating on the day that everyone says evacuate, guess what? Everyone is doing it that day.
It is so rough.
Any other big nuggets?
Big nuggets. Know your flood zones.
Big one.
Yep. Have flood insurance if you live in a flood zone.
I would say a lot of Florida should probably have flood insurance.
Yeah. And you cannot purchase flood insurance once a storm has been named, just so you know.
No, that's good.
How's the weather there? That's relevant.
You just bought a house in March and you don't have flood insurance as you're going through the homeowner, the buying purchase, and a named hurricane or tropical storm hits,
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Trim your trees, clean your sewers, your gutters, rather.
What about cash on hand? Should people have cash?
Have some cash. You know, you see, you go around these days and people don't have cash, right? It's cash free.
Yeah.
You know?
What is cash?
Yeah. What's an ATM? I don't ever go to the bank, right? So, cash is always good to have. Small bills. Fill up your car, get your gas in advance.
Gas is a must.
Take care of your pets. If you can't bring them with you somewhere, make sure you have them boarded somewhere safe.
Is it actually important? I know my wife tells me, this is the one thing she always tells me to do, is take the ice, put a quarter on top of the ice in the freezer, and then we'll leave.
So that will tell you if you see the quarter, all your food is bad in the refrigerator. So we've been known to pack coolers with our food.
Bring it with.
Oh my goodness. It's a lot, but spoiled food is a very big deal.
So if that quarter's at the bottom of the ice, that means
everything
thawed. Way to drop that nugget when we have 60 seconds left, by the way.
No.
That's a good tip right there.
Our emergency plans are so readily available. Newsforjax.com/hurricane. You will find our hurricane page. I'm happy to email it to anybody. mccormick@wjxt.com. JaxReady.com. Your county alert systems, vital.
That is a great closing comment right there. This is my least favorite part of the show. We run out of time because I think we have a good time. Say those websites again, jaxready.com.
Oh, that one's
newsforjax/hurricane.com.
Newsforjax.com/hurricane.
Newsforjax, the number
.com.
Slash hurricane. Here we go. Just like we butcher the intro, we're going to butcher the extra. Extro?
Extro.
I don't know if that's a word. Doesn't
outro.
Matter.
Outro.
I like extra. We're making words here, too. Man, did you have fun?
I had a great time.
Would
this
you
has
come
been
back?
Awesome. Yeah, I would come back, but I would have an answer to your question.
You missed some.
So, how long? I'm going to get you this answer, I promise. How long does the wind have to be sustained at 40 miles per hour before the bridge
is closed? Let's all make bets real quick. Go, you.
I'm saying 4 hours.
I'm going to go. 1 hour tops.
Yeah, I'm going to say 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm going 30
think
minutes
about
to
it,
an
if
hour.
You're a car, if you're a big truck,
yeah.
I mean,
don't
it
think
only it, takes 5 minutes.
I don't think it's
stick.
I don't think it's more than 30 minutes. Yeah.
I take my bet back.
I have to bring up my faults again, my failure to answer your question, but no, I'm transparent that way.
Michelle McCormick, a meteorologist, News 4 Jax. Thank you for joining us. That's
thank
what
you.
The health just happened.
Thank you.